Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
We don't always swear, but when we do, it's on podcasts. Please listen responsibly.
Hello, welcome to the Reading Circle Temple. I'm Molly.
I'm Indy.
I'm Brittany.
And I'm Goodwin.
And today we're reading chapter 2 of Melting Stones.
So grab a cup of coffee.
Or tea.
Or your drink of choice.
And let's take physical and mental damage.
Melting Stones, chapter 2, opens with Luvo and Evie still in their ghost forms in the ocean. And basically it opens with like a geology and biology lesson. They're looking at the, I forgot what it's called, but like the underwater volcano vents.
Hydrothermal vents.
Yeah. How it gives heat to the ocean. And they're talking about all the little plants that live down there and the little fishies that eat the plants. It's basically a little miniature marine biology lesson. It's great. Murtide shakes Evie awake and shakes Evie out of her trance, and she doesn't realize who he is at first. She thinks that she's in the war in Yanjing. She headbutts him and then bites him. Rosethorn gives him a proper tongue lashing for touching Evie when she's in a trance. And she's like, yo, don't do that shit, because we went through a war. If you do that shit, she's gonna fucking bite you, you idiot.
Admittedly, if someone breathed fish and garlic breath in my face while I was just taking a nap, I would also try to beat them up.
Yeah.
That is a very valid point.
Then they spot land, and they land, I believe. They are met by Oswin. Murtide has this whole, I'm an amazing mage, and I have delicate instruments, and you can't possibly expect me to carry my own things and walk to the hovel that you're going to make me sleep in, and blah, 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 and just throws a little hissy fit, to which Rosethorn gives him a second tongue lashing, which is delightful. We also meet Jayet, who is a teenager who lives on the island, and he's helping out. And he brings horses so that they, because they're not expecting them to walk. Oswin and Jayet saddle up the horses and get everybody's gear stowed away. And they set out, I believe. Part one of our three-step reading process is reading like a novice. This is where we talk about what we liked and didn't like about the chapter. I feel like there are a couple things that all of us are going to have to talk about. So I feel like we should start with Dedicate Fusspot.
Murtide is he's such a jerk. I want to use
him in the nose.
Yeah, he deserves to get bit some more.
Like, oh, you thought your nose was broke? It's only bleeding here. Let me break it actually for you.
Yeah, come closer. Let me hit you.
I feel like Fusspot is kind of like a stand-in for Crane here.
Except like, Crane would definitely have like more decorum to not say this shit aloud in front of the people. that are taking him in.
Well, I think that with Crane, it's like he might like complain and bitch and moan and groan. But at the same time, much like Rosethorn, he's like, I am here for a reason. I am here to do my job.
I don't know. I feel like Crane is also closer to Rosethorn's age. So he may have been like this whenever he was younger.
Oh, that's true. So, Evie does point out that as much as Murtide talks about how his hairs are graying, he doesn't have
a single gray hair. Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, oh, he complains about being old. You're not old yet, dude.
Yeah. So I feel like he may have been like that at an earlier age, but he's been a dedicate long enough to get some of that out of him now. So,
right.
Who knows?
So, and I know that in the last episode, we talked about, you know, where has Murtide been this whole time? He keeps talking about how Evie's just a child, but, you know, maybe that's part of it. Maybe like he hasn't been a dedicate very long. So he's still figuring shit out. But
everyone has heard of them. Everyone has heard of them. Even like in the Morn, way up north. True. So for him to be like, well, she's just a child. She doesn't know. Like, even if you haven't been a dedicate for very long there, you've heard of the four mages that are children. So,
well, here's the thing about the forest. They are an exception, not a rule.
That's true.
In his defense, like, not every kid that you come across is Triss.
That's fair. But I mean, even those four. We've come across Posco, which he's from around there. You're like, come on, you've heard of all the different kids other than the great four that have done things.
But that's the thing, is even with Posco, Sandry's the one who essentially pulled the trigger.
Yeah.
Like,
Posco's still very much a child.
With Nia and Jory, Daja is the one of that. With Briar and Evie, as much as I love Evie, it's Briar. Like, it's not the students. They are just kids. Now, Evie is an exception, not a rule. We kind of know that she's got her own fucking book, therefore she's special in one way or another. But you're not gonna base your perception on like
that every kid mage is at the same level as,
yeah,
the four.
Like, right. That's just not how it goes. Like, even adults, you don't judge every single adult on great mage level. So the idea is quite the same of don't you, unless they see it, nobody is a great mage.
Yeah.
As a counterpoint, she is traveling with the sentient heart of a mountain. I know that.
And she's traveling with Rosethorn, who taught the four kids. Like,
I think he might just be an asshole, and just because, I mean, she's a kid. No. Like, I don't.
I would like to amend that statement, Goodwin. You say, I think he might be an asshole because she's a kid. Her being a kid has nothing to do with it. He's just an asshole.
Yeah.
But I also do feel like, because she is under the age of 18, he's magehood, like,
yeah,
you're a stupid fucking kid. Shut the fuck up.
So yeah, not mutually exclusive, but yeah,
not mutually exclusive. I'm just actually,
you know who he reminds me of? He reminds me of Yaren.
Yeah, there you go.
He's good at what he does, and he knows that he's good at what he does, but I bet that he is like lacking in self-confidence or jealous of other people around him who are like even better, and so he feels the constant need to puff himself up, whether it's over the people who live on the island, whether it's over Evie because she's a kid. Whoever is beneath him in any like social capacity, he feels the need to make that known because he's constantly aware of himself being beneath whomever.
Yeah.
We can only hope that he dies of a caffeine-induced heart attack.
You know, I'm going to hold out hope.
Maybe he'll learn his lesson.
Yeah,
I'm going to hold out hope as well.
Crane got better. Maybe he will too.
I think Crane is just a dick still.
I like Crane.
I'm not saying I don't like Crane. I'm just saying I'm pretty sure he's just still a dick.
So I just think he's a fantastic character.
I love Crane so
He's got a good depth. Like, he's not just...
I feel like if we would still see Crane from the outside like we are seeing with Fusspot, we would probably still hate Crane. But now that we have had a character that has been in close quarters with him, where we actually are around him a lot more, we actually like him. Yeah. Maybe that'll change with Fusspot as well, if they become closer. I'm like, oh, you're an asshole, but we kind of like you now.
Yeah, the other thing I wanted to mention about Murtide specifically is the way he talks about the Islanders reminds me a lot of the way I hear people around here talk about Islanders. And so I think this book's going to be a really interesting read. I think this might be the first time that I'm reading this book since I've started teaching Pacific Islanders. And I know, like, this is a Mediterranean, like they're in a Mediterranean island, but also kind of with the description of all the earthquakes and the vents and everything, it has kind of a Pacific island sort of feel. Yeah, they're island people, and I teach people who are from islands. And so I think this is the first time reading this book since I started teaching them. And I think this is going to be an interesting read for me. Yeah, don't trash talk people just because they're from islands. Also, the minute that Fusspot was like, I doubt that they're going to treat us with hospitality or whatever. I don't remember exactly what he says, but he basically says like, oh, they're probably not going to be very welcoming. I was like, that is bullshit, because every Islander gathering that I have been invited to, people are so damn welcoming.
Plus, he's not even giving them the chance. Why would I want to be welcoming to somebody that's going to start demanding shit from me as soon as they land? Of course I'm not going to be welcoming to you. You're being an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Who's up? What else do you guys want to talk about?
All right. Chapters have names. I think we already talked about that last time, but we meet our guides. I like that it tells us exactly what's going on. Feels like a good start.
It just occurred to me that the chapter one is called Lost at Sea, which normally we think of like, we don't know where we are. Mm-hmm. And literally they do, like they're on course. Mm-hmm. She is feeling lost. So
she feels lost. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's very much specific to her.
Very thematic. Yeah. Tamara Pierce does it again. I like the talk about the hydrothermal vents. I feel like that's just such an interesting topic because, like, that wasn't known. Like, I think it was known relatively, like, in the past 100 years that there were, like, these vents that could maintain life without needing the sun for, like, sustenance. And I think it's just such a cool concept of these creatures living next to this pile of boiling minerals and shit that just flies out of the ocean floor, and they can somehow make life around that. Makes you think that, like, life on other planets is certainly possible. I just think it's cool, and I like Tamara Pierce's description of it. I liked Luvo and Evie talking about volcanoes, and Luvo saying that, you know, he was born in one, and that was enough for him. Exposure to a second volcano would be the death of me, Ebumeme, just as it would be the death of you.
Is that foreshadowing?
That's what I was like, is there going to be a gummy bear thrown into a volcano at the end?
I feel like that is probably what's going to happen. He is going to save everybody. He's going to sacrifice himself to save everyone else.
Legit. He's like, well, the only way to stop this volcano is to, toss myself in or something, because I like the story where Evie got beaten on her feet with sticks when she was taken prisoner. That was really cool. Really love that.
I have a real world connection to that. Just to make you guys extra uncomfortable. My Corinne students tell me that, or some of them tell me that in the schools in the refugee camps where they grew up in Thailand, when they misbehaved, that was their punishment, was that their teachers would take a stick to the bottoms of their feet.
Yeah, it's bad.
Awesome.
When Evie just fucking like bites the shit out of Fusspot, but she like realized like, hey, the texture of this fabric in my mouth isn't silk. It's actually linen. Weird. And she continues biting. That it seems so real to me because of that little detail where, like, you know, if you're in that fight or flight, like when something crazy traumatic like happens, like your brain latches on to some weird shit that has like almost nothing to do with your situation. Because that reminded me of when I was in a car wreck when I was, I think, 11 or 12. Me and my family were traveling through, I just want to say it was New Mexico, during a snowstorm. We were carrying a trailer full of stuff. I don't know if we were moving or helping someone move, but just a trailer full of like furniture and like heavy stuff. And we were in a large black truck, and we were driving down the road, and like all of a sudden lost traction. The truck started swerving and like moving around, and like we almost flipped because I remember seeing the ground out of the side window.
Oh, goodness.
The trailer is what kept us from flipping over and probably dying. But all I could like remember aside from the window was the cup of McDonald's orange juice in the cup holder that I was holding onto, and me like crushing it and orange juice going everywhere. So when we stopped, we like took a second to cry. We drove to a rest stop to take a look at the truck and like go decompress. I was like crying because I thought my parents were going to be mad I spilled orange juice all over the back of the truck. Clearly they weren't, but like I very clearly remember that moment of like, oh, I might die, but orange juice.
Oh, that's so sad, but so funny.
Yeah, so this kind of hit me in that, like, it feels real because that, like, connected to me mentally. I've kind of been there. But yeah, trauma makes you, you know, think about weird stuff. When Rosethorn is talking to Muirtide and says that he was dropped on his head as a child, often.
I also have that highlighted, and let me tell you, I had to stop and laugh. Because goddamn, I missed Rosethorn.
She hasn't lost a step at all.
No,
she's still just as verbally sharp as ever, just yes. Like Evie says, like,
that goes back to the description that Evie gives in chapter one of like the god of death takes something from you, and he didn't take any of the sharpness from her tongue, he just took some of the quickness from her speech.
Yeah,
she is as thorny as ever, and it's delightful.
Human meat creatures. That's just how I'm gonna start referring to people. Just so you know. Just Rosethorn. This whole chapter, just Rosethorn. Like her saying he refused to acknowledge that she may suffer the same effects. I love the way Rosethorn loves, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like in this moment, we see her love for Evie in this defense. I love the way Rosethorn loves. It reminds me of how I love. The whole conversation of Fleabane and Ratbane, ending with the I'd say put rats and fleas in his bed, but Rosethorn's Ratbane and Fleabane are real strong. Also, I know that we just mentioned it, but I love how deadpan I hear Rosethorn saying he was dropped on his head as a child often.
It's a goofy thing, but her delivery is, you know, what sells it. Yeah.
Rosethorn is a cat who insists on acting like a dog. I don't think that's correct. That does not sound correct for Rosethorn.
My first one is when Luvo is showing Evie everything that's underwater. Evie keeps asking Luvo all these questions And Luvo's like, I had thought that if I showed you these things, you might have fewer questions. Instead, you have more. Are you never unquestioning having a kid? Yes. They are always, always asking questions.
I like her response.
Yeah.
Quiet when I sleep?
Yeah, I'm not whining. You didn't want me to whine anymore, so I'm not whining. And you never said I couldn't ask questions. Kids are definitely always asking questions. And I want my daughter to ask questions, but sometimes those questions are like, 5 minutes. Shh. Stop. I need the patience of this rock, because he has so much patience. Good job, Luzo.
This is when you look at him and you go, okay, you have 10 questions you can ask me. That's it. After those 10 questions, you give me 5 minutes. And then we will revisit how many questions you get.
Yeah.
I think Luvo's patience comes with being...
with being a mountain and being alive for thousands of years.
Yeah. He kind of reminds me of the Ents from Lord of the Rings.
I liked that when Evie went to go pack her stuff, it talks about the stone alphabet that Briar gave her. She still has it. So cute. I was confused about the scars on her feet. She told Fusspot that they happened a long time ago. But Rosethorn said that the war was only 6 months ago. That's not a long time ago.
Doesn't it mention... So we know that she was sold into slavery, too.
Yeah, but she was saying that those were from whenever she wouldn't talk about where people were hiding at. And the soldiers would smack her in the feet.
I think this is a discrepancy in how they talk about the war.
Or maybe that's she's just trying to say, hey, don't worry about it. It's fine. It's her way of dealing with it, I guess. That's
what I thought it was. I thought it was a, like, don't worry. It was a long time ago. Like, I don't want to talk about
it. I think it may even be her trying to distance herself from it by saying that it happened a long time ago.
That makes sense.
Could be.
Because Rosethorn is like, I've only been away from war for 6 months. And then Evie's like, oh, it wasn't that. It was a long time ago. I mean, 6 months is not a long time ago, but okay.
Could also be a kid, like, relative thing where the kid looks at one of us and it's like, haha, you're old, but we can now we're like 30s, so not really, but.
My next one is the cloth sling that Evie has to carry Luvo around. It reminded me of the sling that Triss had for Chime. Glocky had the little sling too for her doll that she's copying Triss. It's so cute. She's got a little thing for Luvo too, because Luvo's a baby gummy bear. An old baby gummy bear.
I wonder if he would resent you for saying that. No, I don't think he'd resent you. I think he'd just feel the need to correct you.
No.
He'd be like, I am not a baby.
And I'm not a gummy bear. You have much to learn, young one. We already talked about it a little bit when Rosethorn giving the tongue lashing to Fusspot. Really good. First part of it anyway. I don't know. It part of it made me feel kind of weird because the peasants can hear them talking. That was in air quotes. Could hear them talking. And she's not saying, no, they're not peasants or anything like that. He's talking about how there's fleas and rats, and she is just like, yeah, I brought stuff. It's fine. It almost feels like she's agreeing with him to me. I don't know, with her saying that. And then she knows that they hear and like, shh, 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 they can hear you. Stop. I'm like, I don't know. It made me feel like she was kind of agreeing with him with the conversation that they were having. I don't think that she does, but I feel like she could have said something more being like, hey, no, you need to stop. They're not peasants. Shut up.
No, like, this is an inappropriate conversation.
Exactly. But she didn't do that. She was just like, basically like, yeah, you're right, but shut up, okay?
I can see
That's what it felt like to me. I probably am reading it wrong, but I don't know.
I don't know if Rosethorn would conceive of them as, quote, peasants.
Yeah. But
she would definitely be aware of socioeconomic differences and things like, well, there's likely to be fleas and rats here.
Yeah.
Because they're
it's kind of a rough location.
I see her thinking that, like, yeah, of course she's going to bring those things because she knows the type of environment that they're in. But at the same time, she's not telling him, hey, shut up. She's just basically agreeing with him, like, yeah, they are poor. We know this. We know that's why I brought these things, because they are poor. So shut up about it, okay? Like, I don't know. You don't have to agree with it.
So after Evie bites Murtide, one of the sailors gives her a glass of water. Quote, so I could rinse the taste of Murtide from my mouth. I also like the sailors are talking about sex in front of Evie, and they're using like a bunch of euphemisms. And mm-hmm. she's just like, yeah, I know they're talking about sex. I don't understand why adults feel like they have to use euphemisms around me. I'm a kid. That doesn't mean I don't know what you're talking about. Whatever. Yeah. And then I really like Giant. He just seems like just a nice person.
Yeah.
When he shows up, he's running late, and he explains that he's running late because the lady he was buying herbs from wanted him to look at like her dog. And he's like, but the dog was in pain. I couldn't just not help her. And like, that's awesome. Like, I want to hang with you because you're the kind of person who's just like, yeah, you know what? I can't just ignore this. Evie's surprised because Giant gives Rose Thorn a hand up. And Evie's surprised that Rose Thorn actually takes her
the help.
Yeah. But I think it's because like, he's just a nice person. Especially because she's just been dealing with Murtide being a dick, that she's like, no, even if I don't need the help, I'm just going to accept it because you're just trying to be a nice person.
Yeah, you've had enough of someone being an asshole to you. I'm not going to be an asshole as well.
Right. And then I like how she reacts when Oswin realizes that she's a great mage. And he's like, what? They sent a great mage? And she's like, I'm a plant mage. That's all that matters. And I like the whole description where Evie talks about how Rose Thorn doesn't wear her initiate robe that has the black border. And she like keeps her medallion hidden. And she's like, oh, well, Murtide always wears his initiate robe. And if he could make his medallion glow, he probably would.
Rose Thorn has learned that being a great mage also, it attracts a lot of attention and not necessarily good attention.
Yeah.
All right. And the last thing that I have to talk about is voices, because I checked the cast lists. Originally, when I listened to The Will of the Empress, I thought the voice of Zhigoris sounded a lot like the voice of Crane. And then when I started listening to this one, I thought, no, the voice of Murtide in this one sounds like Zhigoris. And then when I got here and I actually heard Murtide and Oswin talking, then it became very clear. But I checked the cast lists. Murtide is played by Daniel Bostic, who also plays Kanael in Will of the Empress. And Oswin is played by Tim Levy, who also plays Zhigoris and Crane.
Ah, nice.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Part two of our three-step reading process is reading like a dedicate. This is where we look for a theme or message in the chapter. What theme or message did you find?
I feel like the theme is the title of the chapter, meeting our guides, because that's what we do in this chapter. We meet our guides and we be assholes to them, and then we carry on.
I wrote kindness and equality in reference to that. Like, not treating people nicely just because they're adults or just because they're mages or whatever, but just because it's the right thing to do. And we get a lot of that with Murtide, treating Evie different and then treating the Islanders different. And then I feel like we can compare that to Oswin and Jayet, who are just like, we're nice people.
Mine was to treat everyone. Oh God, I lost the word. It was the same thing, but treat everyone with dignity and respect.
I like dignity.
Yeah. Because just because someone lived in a pirate-infested rat hole filled with fleas and lice doesn't mean you have to treat them that way. That was sarcasm. Don't be mean to people. It doesn't matter if they're a kid. It doesn't matter if they're, you know, maybe not as well off as you. There's no reason to put them down. It just makes you a fucking asshole. So don't do that.
And then sometimes people will hear your conversations and probably feel bad about themselves. Like, this sucks.
I actually really like the exchange with Oswin, where he's like, should we let them know that the peasants can hear? And Evie's just like, nah, just put some fleas in his bed.
Something you can use against them later on.
Right.
I was going to say being gracious, which, I mean, it's just a different way to phrase. Be nice. Don't be a dick. It's that simple. It costs you a whole $0 to not be an asshole.
And people reciprocate when they're like that. Like, because that reminds me of the sailor on the boat who, instead of helping Murtide with his like bleeding broken nose, gives water to Evie because she was nice to her earlier on.
And that pirate or that person is played by Tamara Pierce.
Yes.
Nice.
Part three of our three-step reading process is reading like a mage. This is where we use the text to craft magic in our own lives. I'm going to go ahead with mine because we basically already talked about it. I wrote, don't be a dick.
It's a good one.
Yep.
Good words to live through.
Be a nice person. Don't be Murtide.
Some people need that reminder to just not be a dick.
I think on some level, all of us need that reminder at times.
Yes.
Sometimes it's real hard not to be a dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're better off not doing it.
Yeah.
Even though it might feel really good to do it.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
Yeah. Like, is Oswin actually going to put fleas and rats in Murtide's bed? Probably not.
Probably not.
He should.
You could. It'd be funny.
It would be funny.
No, no, no.
He's too nice for that.
Roastland will do it.
Maybe the sailors will do it.
Ooh, yeah.
There you go.
Tammy would do it.
My personal magic is when someone tells you not to touch them, don't fucking touch them. It's very simple. When someone tells you to not do that, don't do it. Respect other people's bodily autonomy or get your shit slapped. I...
As someone who does not like to be touched, yeah. Exactly that.
I believe that you, in fact, have a story that is similar to Evie's.
There's been more than one. Yeah, there's been more than once where I've knocked a motherfucker out because they've touched me and I wasn't expecting it. They sent a great mage to us. I am a green mage. That's the important thing. Sometimes what we need is a lot more than what we get. But sometimes we get exactly what we need in copious amounts.
Mine comes from Murtide. When he tells Evie, I'm trying to be civil. It would be nice if we could get along. They're the only three that are going to be there from Whiting Circle. I don't know. You don't have to like a person to be civil with them, but sometimes it makes some situations a lot easier if you just learn to be civil with people. You don't have to like them. Being an asshole to people does not make situations any better, even if you don't like them. I feel like a lot of times, if I'm around somebody I don't like, I'll let them know, hey, I don't fucking like you. I don't want you anywhere near me. And it doesn't make the situation any better. So I may not like you, but I'll be civil towards you. Try to anyway. I need to.
I don't have to tell you that I don't like you. You know I don't like you.
Yeah.
I don't get that luxury of just telling someone, hey, I don't like you, fuck off.
I really like that because I feel like we've like circled back around. Circled back around.
Oh, boo.
Wow.
Stop. No.
We like to end our episodes with an excerpt from the following chapter. So this is an excerpt from chapter 3 of Melting Stones. Chapter 3, The Mountain is a Restless Sleeper. The road to Moharan followed a nice river called the McRae. As roads went, it was all right. There were farms on the side that wasn't a river. The farms had lots of cows, sheep, olive trees, orange trees, and grapevines, just as the sailors had said. It was very pretty, if you like that sort of thing. I was more interested in the stones all around us. There was plenty of basalt, but that wasn't special. There was lots of basalt on the ocean floor. As soon as I touched it, I sent my magic on for something new. The stone walls that hemmed the farms and orchards sparkled in my magic. The rocks were granite, specked with quartz and feldspar. I was so glad to see crystal that I let it soak in a bit of my power. The granite shimmered like heaps of jewels in the sun when I finished. Evu Meme. I think Luvo had been trying to get my attention for a while because he was making his voice boom in my bones. He knows I don't like that. This young man wishes to speak to you. Giant was riding on my left. His eyeballs were bulging in his head. Your rock made a mouth and it talked. He said it as if he'd never heard of such a thing. Well, maybe he hadn't. I hadn't heard of any others like Luvo. He's not my rock. His name is Luvo. He's the heart of a mountain. Only I suppose the mountain can go on living because it's still standing back there in Yanjing. I looked down at Luvo in his sling on my chest. Isn't it? My mountain is quite well, thank you, Evu Meme. Luvo turned his head lump to Giant. You may call me Luvo. Giant swallowed hard. Being addressed by a rock does take getting used to. I'm Giantine Holly. Mostly people call me Giant. He bowed to Luvo. I knew it was Luvo because I'm not the sort of person people bow to. If they think I am, I discourage it quickly. I will call you Giatine, then. That is more fitting, Luvo said. Luvo doesn't usually like short names. I explain things so Luvo won't try to. Sometimes his explanations are on the long side. He always calls me Evu Meme, which is the full form of my first name. So, Evie,
Which dedicate are you apprenticed to? Dryad asked. Rosethorn or Murtide? I shook my head. I'm a student stone mage. Rosethorn brought me because they don't feel kindly about me at Winding Circle just now. She and I are used to long trips together. What kind of magic do you have? Just the kind that's done with charms and spells. It's good enough for Starnes, but that's all. You won't see the likes of me at Winding Circle. I could no more hear the voices in nature than I could fly. I don't know how you natural mages do it. Jayet grinned. Hearing stones or plants or water talking to me would make me half crazy. Well, for one thing, it's not natural magic. It's ambient magic. I had to show off my Winding Circle learning. Not everyone's magic goes through things in nature, you know. My foster mother, Lark, has hers with thread and weaving. And there are ambient mages who work with carpentry and cooking and metalwork. That's all things that are made. Jayet chuckled. Excuse my error, O wise woman from across the water. I stuck my tongue out at him, feeling better about this trip. It looked like I had a new friend who wasn't all serious and temperamental like the grown-ups I traveled with. Rosethorn is fun in her crackly way, but dealing with strangers makes her cross, and I knew Murtide was a fusspot before we weighed anchor. Meeting Jayet was a big relief. Oswin seemed all right, too. He actually had Murtide smiling as they rode together.
Aww.
I just realized she refers to Lark as her foster mother.
Well, of course.
Lark is just everyone's mom.
Mm-hmm.
Lark is team mom.
Yes.
Reading Circle Temple is produced by us, Molly,
Brittany,
Indy,
and Goodwin.
If you like the show, tell your friends about us.
If you don't like the show, tell your enemies.
You can also help people find us by leaving a rate and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen.
Find all our episodes at our new home on Acast, shows.acast.com/readingcircletemple.
Shake it us. We'd love to hear from you.
Send us an email at templeofreadingcircle@gmail.com.
You can also follow Reading Circle Temple on Instagram, Tumblr, and Facebook. And you can join our Reading Circle Temple Facebook group.
To find us on Twitter, tweet at Reading Temple.
A special thanks to Yellows for Happy for our artwork. You can find more of their art by following Yellows for Happy Draws on Tumblr and Shannon Ann Draws on Instagram.
Another special thanks to Brittany's brother, Thomas Dick, for our theme music. You can find more of his music by following Thomas Dick on SoundCloud.
Thanks to Tamara Pierce for writing The Circle of Magic, and thanks to you for listening.
Let's all have coffee next week.
You know, I feel like we just shouldn't hit children.
That? Yes.
I like that.
I know. Controversial statement. I just think we shouldn't hit children.
I agree. Yes. Listen.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.